Amen. I just want to give you a little plug. The music that you were hearing, if you're not familiar with it, is Living Words Recording Choir. The release CD, and that song that you just heard was called Favor Ain't Fair, but it sure is fabulous. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that is actually doing good. It's, what is it, number 32 on the R&R charts or something like that? So, yeah, it's doing real good. So if you do not have that CD, you may stop by the Royal Christian Bookstore and purchase that. It is available for you. And you can tell them I said that, so, you know, little plug. Amen. How many pastors do we have in here today? Okay. How many of you are worship leaders in your church? Okay. How many of you are part of a music department at your church? Okay. How many of you are musicians? Okay. And how many of you just wanted to come here because you thought this would be the best class? No. Y'all can leave. Y'all can leave. Well, we're glad that you're here. It almost sounds like the title is a little lofty title, isn't it? You know, they said, give us a blurb and we'll come up with a title. And so that's what they came up with. Supernatural worship when the music and the message are one. And, you know, we're living in the day and the time now where it is imperative. You can still leave the lights on for a little bit. It's imperative that music flow with the Word of God. I mean, you don't want to have two different services that are happening. You know what I'm saying? You know, the music department gets up and they do their own thing. And then the pastor gets up and he does his own thing. And like, where are the two coming together? But and we're going to be asking some questions in between time, too. I'm just kind of circling the airport here and see which way we're going to start. And we've got some things down and we'll just flow. I want to encourage you that even while we're here during this time, I didn't do a handout kind of on purpose. Because I want you to write down what you hear from God while things are being said. Okay? You know, nowadays with music, it's so easy to mimic what's out there. And what we want to do, especially as worship leaders, is to hook up with what the message is for the house where you're at and go that direction. I mean, we're just not interested in doing the top 40. You know, whatever's out there. You know, you can flip on the radio and listen to that, listen to it on your iPod or whatever. But we want there to be a dynamic that's happening so that when the music is finished, you're flowing right into what the Word of God has to say. Our whole purpose as worship leaders, musicians, and we'll get to the pastors in just a minute. Our whole purpose, we're a ministry of helps. That's what we are. And that's what I tell our people. We're in the helps ministry. We are not up there just to be seen and not up there just to show off, not up there to see what is the longest run we can do with our voices or what's the best rip that the musicians can do, you know. Oh, man, they jamming in the house today, you know, and all of that sort of thing. It's really not about that. It's about preparing the atmosphere so the Word has free course to do what God intended for it to do during that service that day. And even when they leave the service that day, we want there to be a continuation of what God wanted for that service that day until they come back for Wednesday night or whenever your next service is. So people can get fueled up, fired up, and go back out there and deal with that world, but still flow in the supernatural in their natural everyday life until they come back for Sunday to get refueled and refired again. And so, you know, supernatural worship when the music and the message are one. Well, let me put it this way. Pastors, let me see your hands again.
Sir, when you say pastor, do you mean heads of the church?
Yes, the pastors of the church or ordained pastors, it doesn't matter. I think it's kind of all inclusive, because if you're doing something, 9 chances out of 10, you want some music there to accompany what you're doing. So let me see those hands again. I put before you today that you dare to place a demand on your music department. I dare you to do it. I dare you to be the pastor.
Yes, yes.
I guess some musicians want to get up and leave now, don't they? Or worship leaders. And the reason why I say that is, if you're going to dare to be out there on the forefront with what God has you saying, ministering and delivering what the people need, what they don't want to hear, but they need it anyway, and you're putting yourself out there on a regular basis, however many times you're ministering every week, your musicians need to be that same way. You can look all through the Old Testament, and they were out there in front of the armies. I mean, they were making the way. They were on the front line. They were the front line, preparing the way for what was to come. And if they're not willing to, what's a good word? To gut it out and get what God has for the house that they're in, then they don't need to be there. Let them go be a hireling someplace else. Musicians are a dime a dozen. Now, I'm 56 years old, and I can say this. I've been in it for a while. Singers are a dime a dozen. But the question should be asked, where are the anointed minstrels of God? Amen? And sure, you can do music that's out there, and, you know, make it your own. Put your own spin on it. That's all good. As long as it's anointing, as long as it's talking about God, as long as it's magnifying Jesus, you know? I mean, we're not singing "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." You know, we should know better than that nowadays. And if you don't, then you need to change what you're doing. But, you know, I was talking with Pastor last week, and I was just talking with somebody else while I was listening to Sister Patricia and Brother Ron. There is music that is yet to be sung. There is music specific for this day, for this time, for this hour. Specific music. And each move of God, if you look down through church history, if you look back through music, if you look back through the moves of God, there was specific music that accompanied that. I don't care how far back you go. When you go all the way back to Azusa, and even then some, You can go back to the Welsh revivals. You can go back to Smith Wigglesworth's time in England and various places, in Ireland. You know, they've had moves of God. And there were certain hymns that were written specific for that time that spoke to the message that was coming out, that was accompanying the message that was coming out. And all the way through history, it's always that. I remember we were in Australia in 95. And Brother Copeland was on the platform, and he prophesied about music that would come from this specific place and would go throughout the entire world and affect the entire world. And you know what that place was? Hillsongs. It was Australia. And he spoke about some other things about how God would move on people and how they would begin to orchestrate sounds from heaven. You know, and we think that we've heard it all, and I don't want to get up on my soapbox. Oh, Lord, help me. The thing is, we need to be a voice from heaven and not an echo from somebody else. Now, we do all kinds of things here, but they'll tell you, I'll change up stuff in a minute during the service on the fly. Because everything that we do, we want to flow with the Spirit of God. It has to be by the Spirit of God. Otherwise, we just stay in our souls, and we're ministering out of our souls. And where is that going to go? That's not going to go anywhere. You know, we want what heaven wants. Pastor Winston has been preaching on signs and wonders and miracles and the supernatural of God. What kind of music is it going to take for that? I mean, just think of music that you know. What kind of music that you know that's in your head right now that would be able to accompany it, accompany signs, wonders, and miracles? Is there something that you're thinking of right off the top of your head?
Our God.
Huh?
Our God.
Our God. What else? Somebody else. Give me a song. Heaven on earth.
God, yeah. Is still working miracles.
God is still working miracles.
No weapon.
No weapon. Okay. Now think about music that will not go with that message.
Climbing up the rough side.
Oh, child, climbing up the rough side. I'm climbing up. Come on, y'all. Y'all know this song. On the rough side, I'm doing my best trying to make it in. Do you not know if you're saved or not? Are you a candidate for heaven? I mean, it's like, come on. That's so funny. And that was a number one hit. What was it, the Redbud Mass Choir or something like that, or whoever it was? Up the rough side of the mountain. Now, what's that going to do with, how does that build faith for signs, wonders, and miracles? There's no faith in it. It's like we just struggle to make through the journey, and we hope we just get inside. There's a song out now that I just heard the other day. I just want to make it inside the gates. I don't know if you've heard it, but it sounds like something else. I won't say who it was. I just want to make it inside the gates. I just want to make it inside. Well, I hope I will. Well, I hope you do too, you know. But I'm telling you, there's so much music that you hear nowadays, it does not build faith. It does not even build up character. It doesn't deal with honor. It doesn't deal with magnifying God. There are songs out there that do not even mention the name of Jesus. Sounds good, feels good, got a good hook, it's got a good beat. But what is that going to do to advance the kingdom of God? Pastor Bill always ministers on how can we advance the kingdom of God in the earth today. So if what we're doing does not advance the kingdom, does not advance the word, does not promote faith, then we need to stop doing it. Period. You just need to cut it out your repertoire. And then that's why I said pastors, if there's something that you don't like that they're doing, be the pastor. Tell them don't sing this song again. And if you don't like it, I'll find somebody else that can flow with the Holy Ghost or will flow with the vision for this house. If you want to be a hireling, do it in the world. You'll make more money 90% of the time. You know, if you want to do your own thing, go on out there and do your own thing. But if you're going to be associated with a particular ministry, if you're going to be associated with a pastor, then make sure that you're hooked up with that pastor. Make sure you're hooked up with the message of the house. And then if you're not, at least have the common courtesy to say, Pastor, this just ain't hooking up with me. I want to do something else, and I want to do something different. You get who you need to get. I could appreciate that more than you just being up on stage being defiant and sounding good. Like I said, musicians and singers are a dime a dozen. But anointed men and women of God that can cause the word to go forth in power, that's what the world needs today. That's what the world needs today. And so that's how you get the music and the message flowing in the same vein. That's how you get it. Okay, you can leave now. Please fill out your surveys. No. I'm going to go. Now, this you think may be a strange place to start. And I taught some of this in the School of Ministry, and I was kind of surprised that it went this particular direction, and we'll focus on some things in here too. But I want you to, okay, I have to click this. I did it. Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And most people wouldn't even think to start here. You know, they'll want to go back to the Old Testament and dig out all the rituals of how they did this and how they did that. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified version, and it's up here on the board if you don't have that Amplified version. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. It wasn't even about the music. It wasn't even about the sound. It was not even about the instrumentation. It wasn't even about the voices or how many voices that we have or how what type of singers do we need for this particular group or anything. It starts with you, individual. It doesn't even have to do with you being a pastor or a musician or a singer or an usher on the usher board or whatever, or coordinator. It comes back to you, God talking to you. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable, intelligent service and spiritual worship. That's where it all begins. Because if you're not totally committed and sold out to God, you'll never get to the other place where you think you want to go. You never will. And that's the reason why you find such fallout in the music community where singers and musicians are concerned, because they haven't humbled themselves before God. They haven't submitted every part of their life to God so that they can flow the way God wants them to flow. And if they can't do that, pastors, you need to let them go. You need to let them go. If it gets to the point that, pastors, you have to get up there and sing by yourself, and you may not be able to sing, at least you know you'll be anointed.
Yes.
And the service will go the direction that God had intended for it to go. There have been so many times that I have just been happy for the gift that God has placed on the inside of me, because I could be at places ministering and something, and people are up there singing, and praise God, they're doing the best that they can, and it's all good. But then at least I can get up on the piano and I can start to play and I can start to sing and I can start to minister to the Lord so I can be where I need to be, so I can deliver what God wants me to deliver. But if they're not there, then they don't need to be there.
That's good.
Place a demand on them. Do an assessment of what's going on. Don't be satisfied with status quo. Don't do that. We can always sound good. We can always make ourselves sound good. We can just do an arrangement outside that's just stupidly good. Have folks shouting and moving and all of this and that and the other. But the thing is, when you get finished with it, where are those people? Where are they in their life once that song was finished? What was accomplished by the entire thing? And if you're just spinning your wheels where all of that's concerned, why waste the time? Why waste the energy? Why waste other people's time? Everybody said.
Amen.
Do y'all want to fill out your surveys first before I finish up here? In reality, I really don't care. You know, I just don't care. And you have to get to the place that you just don't care.
Amen.
All I want is what God wants. I'm contending for sounds for this day and for this time and for this hour. That's what I'm contending for personally, whether I would be here or not. But I tell you, when you have a voice such as Pastor Winston or these other pastors that are in this room, you want to be on your face before God to get what you need to get, so that the body can have what they need to have. You know, it's not about us, but it's about Amen. It's a good song. So everything starts here. And the King James Version says, this is your reasonable service, that you submit your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, it all goes back to obedience. No matter what you do, it all goes back to obedience. Everything. What you say, what you do, where you go, how you minister, how you sing it, how you don't sing it. Amen. I want to read this out of the Message translation and we'll move on. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping. I think that's on the slide here, too. Did I do it? Okay. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Don't become so well adjusted to the culture that's around you. Don't become satisfied with what you hear. Don't become just satisfied with the latest thing that's out there. Don't just be content to get the next song that you hear that sounds good. Okay, let's rehearse this. Let's do it. Let's throw down on it. Don't be content for that. If your pastor preached that way, 9 chances out of 10, his church would not have the capacity of people that are in it, just doing the status quo. You know? The church that you're a part of, singers and musicians, don't you want to hear the word? Don't you want to be challenged? Don't you want to be changed by that word? Don't you want pastor to be on his face getting the word so you can have a word? Then why should we as minstrels of God be any different? I don't care if you just sing in the choir and you never sing a solo or anything. You should still be on your face before God wanting the best that God has. We all have a supply to give. We all have a supply to give. And you ought to want your pastor to be out there anointed. There, you may sing a song that may change the entire atmosphere in the church, and he'll go a different direction just because God said, do this and do it now. It may not have been a part of your lineup. May not have been a part of what you rehearsed the previous week prior to the service. But God says, switch it up, change it. Amen. And we'll get to a scripture here in just a minute where that's concerned. But it will cause the atmosphere to change, and it will cause the level of the word to go higher. The man of God should not have to work any harder than what he did prior to him getting up in that pulpit. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
He should not have to work any harder than what he did in preparing that message that he's going to deliver. But the atmosphere should be free enough for him to be able to turn it on a dime, because it may be for one person out of 3,000 that is sitting in that auditorium, or one person out of 20 that's sitting in that place. That message could be specifically for them, and yet you'll still get something out of it. But God wants this to happen. And how many times have you read in the Old Testament where a minstrel was called for? And he came and he played and he was skillful in flowing in that direction. And when he did, the atmosphere changed. The glory of God moved into place. What did David do for Saul? Changed the atmosphere. And when he was vexed, David would come in and play, and what would happen? And if we're not flowing to that degree, then we're not doing what we're called to do. Really. We're in a serious time. We're in a serious hour. Lives are at stake. And even just hearing Sister Patricia just ministering. You know, I've been around the world. I've been to a few places. And I've been to places where almost the entire auditorium has gotten up and gotten saved. You know, it's something to see. It's something to behold. But there is such a level of supernatural activity that has taken place in the earth today, either be it on God's side or on the side of the enemy. And the enemy is waging war against the souls that are to be born into the kingdom of God. So what is our part in this? What is the part that we need to play? Amen? Let's go to... And how do we do this? Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How do we live an obedient life of worship as worship leaders, as musicians, as singers? How do we do that? It's all by faith. Everything that we do that God has asked us to do, it's all by faith. There's nothing different where music is concerned. It's all by faith. It's you trusting God. It's you trusting God. There have been times where pastor has preached a message and, just the house is on fire. And not just because of the soul being stirred, but man, the message is so good. You just want to bite the back of the chair in front of you, you know. It's just that good. And then all of a sudden, he'll just kind of stand up there in the front and he'll have his eyes closed sometimes, or maybe they're open, and he'll just kind of turn towards me this way. And he wants a song. Come on, let's flow in the Holy Ghost. That can be the most uncomfortable place. But yet, even in that place, there's a place of safety because you know you're not doing it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I know it has nothing to do with me. I'm trusting God in this situation. And worship leaders, you need to put yourself in that position. You need to practice that. Just like you take your time in prayer, you need to practice flowing in the Holy Ghost. And some of you probably do it and don't even realize that you're doing it. But he'll just kind of, you know, he'll just be there and he'll just, okay, here we go. And sometimes I'm just kind of laughing on the inside of me, really. I'm just like, okay, here we go. But like I said, it's all about faith. And so you just step out. You just step out. There is something about just stepping out and believing and trusting God. There's something about it. There's nothing like it. And the adventure that you have with God in those kind of positions and situations. And even, you know, sometimes in those situations, I may just have a chord. I may know what key to start in. So I'll just hit a chord. Or I may just have a melody. No words. What key am I going to do it in? Is it going to be too high when I start singing? You know, we think about all of these things while all this is going on. And sometimes I may just have a word, and the word may be the. But you start where you know to start. You start where the Holy Ghost tells you to start. And as you move out, then the rest comes. It always, God never fails. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. He always is. And so musicians and worship leaders, put yourself in that position. Practice that. During your time of prayer, just begin to sing and minister unto the Lord. There are sometimes during choir rehearsal here, we'll just get into a place and we'll just start flowing. And we haven't done that in a while. But I'll say, come up here. Get on the mic. Give that out what's on the inside of you. Sometimes ain't nothing there. But the problem is they think there's nothing there. But there is always something there. Because we know the Holy Ghost is always speaking. He's always talking. There's never a time where he's silent. He's always talking something. And so we'll bring him up. Come on, sing this out. Go ahead and minister that out. We'll bring somebody else up. Go ahead and minister that out. If it's nothing but them just singing Jesus is Lord, blah, 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 blah. At least it was something. You're exercising that gift that is on the inside of you. And as the word said, David was skillful. He was skillful. He knew how to work it. And when I say work it, I'm not talking solically, but he knew how to flow with God. Amen? So it's all by what?
Faith
that we do what God has called us to do. Pastors, how many times have you thought, I wish they would sing this? Come on, let me see your hands. I like that. Just start singing it. Amen. Or something else right in the middle of what they're doing, you think to yourself, this just ain't it.
Yes.
How many of you are bold enough to get up and turn it? One, there's two, You got to be. You have to be as bold with that as you are with the word that God gave you. Because when you do that, then you place a demand on those that you have to lead praise and worship, and the singers and the musicians that are up there. I'll switch up stuff all the time. Dr. Morgan, she's back there in the back. She's our music administrator and all of those kinds of things. Some of you may know her, service coordinator and all of that stuff. She'll tell you. You know, because we do three services here on Sunday, and I may do a certain set on Sunday, the first service, you know. But baptism, second service, while they're baptizing, you know, there's just something I pick up a little something. I thought, oh, okay, we'll do that. Now, I haven't told the people that are running the words in the back. I haven't told them that. 9 chances out of 10, I hadn't told the musicians, have I, David? David back in the back, he's our drummer, one of our drummers here. And, you know, and when I first got here, you know, people would be just a little nervous because I'd go down all kind of trails, you know. And, like, what's Wayne going to do now? But I don't mind doing that, number one, because I trust the gift that's on the inside of the people that's around me. Now, they may not know that. They may not have experienced it before. But that's me placing a demand on what's inside of them. And it's been amazing, you know, we'll start to flow like that. And Angela, our bass player, she'll just pick up, she'll start doing the line. And David's back there, he's playing the drums and he starts interpreting what's happening. And the stuff that he does on the drums, it just moves and it just happens. You know, it's got to start with somebody. It might as well be you. You know, there's nothing to be fearful about. There's nothing to be afraid about. Brother Hagin would say, there's nothing that can happen in a service that I can't fix. But my whole viewpoint of everything that it is that I do, if the man of God is willing to be out there talking about the billion flow, I need to be just that bold. I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm talking about being bold in understanding that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. That God is able to make it happen. I trust the Spirit of God on the inside of me. So I need to be just that bold as the word is bold. And then pastors, if you don't want to be bold with what you're ministering, don't expect your musicians to be either. Because as the pastor goes, so goes the church. As the head of the house goes, so goes the house. Amen. Who clapped? Who clapped? Oh, I'm going to be like Pastor Bill. Oh, I'm going to give you $100. But man, let's move on. Let's move on. Where do I want to go? Okay. Where am I at? Obedience is the key to the worship of God. God wants intimacy from us. How is this intimacy developed? How is this intimacy cultivated? How is this intimacy maintained? Give me some feedback. And don't just regurgitate back to me what I just said. It begins at home in your private worship. Daily devotion. Who else? In the word. Sacrifice. We got to stay in the word. As musicians, we got to stay in the word. Because the enemy has a way to deal with your soul. And so you'll get into the soulical part of your life instead of staying in the spirit. And the only thing that can take care of that is the word of God. Okay, give me some other response. Yes. Expectancy. Yes, anybody else? Practicing his presence. You know, there's a book out. There's a book called Practicing the Presence of God. Who's that by? Who? It's an old one. Yes, Lawrence. I mean, he would crawl up into a tree stump and just spend time with God. Was it Smith Wigglesworth that said, somebody asked him, how long do you pray? I think it was him, or was it John G. Lake? Wigglesworth. Asked him, how long do you pray? He said, well, I never go any longer than 10 minutes, but I never go longer than 10 minutes without praying. So he was just always maintaining that place in prayer. So he was always fresh before God. Come on, give me some other reasons.
Consistency
in what you're doing.
Obedience to God.
Obedience to God. Who else?
Cooperation
with.
Submission.
Who?
Submission
to.
Just talking to him.
You don't have to speak in Elizabethan English. You know, we get to heaven, God might be just throwing down on hip hop. You never know. Say, what's up, homie? I'm so glad you made it. Dude, come on. I'm telling you, some people are going to be surprised when they get to heaven. They really will be surprised when they get to heaven, because I think a lot of times we think of heaven, we have a concept of heaven as we think about it in our own selves. But look how diverse we are. And if we're that diverse here in the natural, can you imagine what's going to be thrown down up there when we get there? Angels be rocking back and forth. If Dr. Morgan has anything to do with it, she'll be direct. Okay, it's time to move this way and time to go this way. Anybody else? How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you maintain that? How do you develop that?
A life of holiness.
A life of holiness. That goes back to Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brethren. Yes, who else?
Hearing
and listening. We were standing by the soundboard yesterday, and we were just talking about some things. John was talking. Armando was here. He was doing sound for us last night and the night before. We bring him in periodically to tweak the system for us. And Greg from Paul Wilbur's group that plays the piano. So we were just up there talking, and, you know, I was just talking about some things that I wanted to share today. And Greg had mentioned something about silence. And John, who used to play here all the time before I got here, but now he's our principal sound engineer. And he said, you know, silence is a sound also. But it takes everybody being quiet to hear it. I thought that was so deep. So simple yet so profound. And sometimes, a lot of times, we as musicians, we're just afraid to be quiet. Sometimes we just need to shut up. Just be still. Just shut up. Now, there may be some people that might want to stand up in the audience. Thus saith the Lord, my little children, be happy with God, your creator. Sometimes I always get weary of people. My little children, God says. No, I shouldn't say that. That was bad, wasn't it? Was that bad? But sometimes we just need to be quiet so God can just talk to that person individually. You know, sometimes we just don't need to bombard people. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to start off with a fast song. You don't have to have a fast song the entire night. You don't have to have 25 songs of service. You don't have to go too fast, one medium, one kind of medium slow. And then when we get into the deep flow, it has to be wide and moody. And then bring them up at the end. You don't have to have that. There's been several services on Wednesday night. We've just stayed on one song for 30, 35 minutes. Because that's what God was doing. That's how you get the message and the music becoming one. Just do what God tells you to do and don't do anything else. And if God's not telling you to do anything, well, then do what you prepared ahead of time. At Raymond, they always taught us that you prepare as if there is no spirit, but then you get up and minister as if there's nothing but the Spirit of God. And when you do that, you'll always be in the perfect will of the Lord. Amen. God wants intimacy from us. And if we as worship leaders, if we as singers, and if we as musicians cannot be intimate with God in our own personal time, we will never be in a public forum. Because what you do in private is what you'll do publicly. It is. What you've done privately is what's going to come out and go out over the stage and out into the audience and to the people. Amen. Y'all still like me a little bit?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. God is good. I want, okay, I'm going to go to this next slide. The parts or pieces that we use to worship God are often confused for actual worship. We tend to spend more time on embellishing the external structure of worship, be it through the vehicle of music or the ambience of the service or the lighting or the singers or the players or the banners, dancers, etc. And these aid and assist to a certain degree. However, we sometimes forget the simple, uncompromising act of just obeying God in all things. A lot of times we think that if we have all of this stuff here, oops, then we've worshiped God. And there are sometimes I've been in situations and circumstances where it's been nothing but a distraction. You got the light shows that are happening, and you got all the filters on the lights. You got moving lights. What did I do? Oh, yeah. How's that? Okay. So if we think we got 100 dancers up there dancing, and they've got the latest flags, and they have the latest outfits, and the lighting is just right. When you do a fast song, the lights are just moving. You got smoke, and you got fog in the air. Now, don't get me wrong. As an artist, I love all that stuff. And there are certain situations and places and times that it has its place, you know? And then when you go to a slow song, the lights change and things go to blue with a little white coming in. So you can sing the singers, and then the smoke is moving, you know, and all of this and that and the other. But that in and of itself is not worship. You take the Spirit of God out of it, and what do you have? You just have a concert, just like the world. They can do all of that, and 100% of the time, they do it better than we do it. And we don't have the sense to recognize that and understand that. I'm telling you, we don't. We think that's the way to get people to come to the church. And the word never said anything about people being drawn into the church because of the lighting, because of the dancers, because of the flags, because of the banners, because of the music. How are they drawn? How are people saved? It's not because of all of that. And if you think that we have to have all of that in order to have worship, then we might as well just go do someplace else, because you fooled yourself. The enemy has fooled you. The enemy has tricked you to getting off course, and he has you right where he wants you, right in your soul. And the problem is with all of this, and, you know, churches can do whatever they want to. And I thank God for all of this stuff. We ought to use it to a certain degree in certain situations anyway. You know, there's a place for it. But if we think that we have to have all of that in order to worship God, what did they do back in Acts? Did they have all of that in Acts? They didn't even have electricity run at all. Much less anybody that knew how to run it. You know? So you can't get caught up in the trappings of what we think worship is. Worship, when you get right down to it, is a one-on-one relationship between you and God. I tell them all the time, Doc can testify to this, if they don't want to go, I'll go by myself. I'll be back in 30 minutes. Seriously, I'll be back in 30 minutes because I'm going to worship God. Now, if you want to come go with me, come on. I'm not going to holler at you. I'm not going to make you do this. You know, we may be doing something fast. I said, come on, y'all, put your hands together. Let's magnify God, you know, whatever. But I'm not going to make you do, I can't, if God can't make you do anything, what can I do? Amen? Amen. So worship is just a one-on-one relationship between you and God. And then when we all come together, because we've all been practicing the presence of God, every one of you, as the scripture says, every one of you have a song, a psalm, a tongue, an interpretation, or whatever. And we bring it all together. And then when we come together in a corporate situation, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but that's okay, time is going by. Then we bring that collective oneness together And we are truly one when we come together. And I'm telling you, you can just anticipate what God's going to do. Don't you want to have an experience with God every time you come together? Amen. I know growing up Baptist, we could always tell when the pastor was getting ready to get finished. Because he died. Oh, he died. On the cross. You know, blah, blah, blah. And my thing was, they always put him on the cross and they never took him off. He was still hanging on the cross next Sunday. And the Sunday after that, people shout, fall out. Church is over with, cussing each other out. Be having fights up in the church, you know, and stuff. You know, back in the day, you know, you having a board meeting and ushers come with guns. I guess y'all never experienced it. I guess I'm too old for some of that stuff. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ushers be back in the fight, back in the back fighting because she went out with her husband the night before. You know, they're still hungover from the club when they came into church next day. Can you imagine what your life would be back like if you were still in that kind of a church? But God has called us out, so why should we bring junk in that God has called us out from? If that be the case, just stay where you're at. That way you won't be so frustrated and you won't frustrate people around you. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. Obedience is the highest form of worship, the highest expression of worship, because it says, Father, I trust you with all that concerns me. It's just that simple. That you trust him. You trust him. You trust him with your life. You trust him with your finances. You trust him with your family. You trust him with your soul. You trust him with your spirit. You trust him in everything you do when you live a life of obedience. And so if that be the case, why not obey him where praise and worship is concerned? Why not? What's to be afraid of? I tell him all the time, if Pastor don't like it, he'll tell me. And those of you that know Pastor Bill, he'll tell you. If he doesn't like what we're doing, don't worry about it. He'll tell me. We'll deal with it. We'll make a change and we'll move on. But my God, you can't keep yourself in a box just because it's the easiest thing to do. You can't do that. You pastors, you ministers that are in here, how many of you are pressing your way to get what God wants you to minister? How many of you are doing that on a consistent basis? I mean, because you know where you came from. You know where God has you right now. And 10 chances out of 10, he's showing you where he wants you to go. And so you contend for that. You press in for that. And we as singers and musicians, we need to do that. Don't be satisfied with the status quo. John, I gave you props about silence. I'll give you an offering. Stand up, John. John's our audio personnel. He's our head engineer here at Living Word. We appreciate him greatly. Highly, believe me. You know, we're going to talk about, we have a little session this afternoon where audio is concerned and TV, so we're going to mention some things in there. So, but anyway, obedience is the highest form of worship or the highest expression of worship because it says, Father, I trust you with all that concerns me. Jesus obeyed God in everything. He only did what the Father instructed him to do and only spoke what the Father said for him to say. And if he was that way and he's our example, then we need to be that way. How many leaders of praise and worship have actually just stepped out and just gone for it? Let me see your hand. Don't be shy. Wasn't it fun? Didn't you enjoy that? Say, God, let's do that again. And when you did that, what effect did it have on the service? What'd you say? What'd you say? No, right here.
Mm-hmm. It just was a beautiful service.
Praise the Lord. Who else? Did I see a hand over here? Yes.
Many times it changes into Pastor will open up an altar call
He'll begin to minister. Mm-hmm. Healing, deliverance mm-hmm. will take place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who else?
People actually had got healed, and like she said, it opened up an altar call, and people got saved at church.
Okay, praise the Lord. Who else? Was there somebody else over here? This right there, that brother right there.
I already said it.
Okay. We had one over here. John, you're getting your exercise on today.
Where?
Just a freshness
mm-hmm.
in the atmosphere, just a freshness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I'm always mindful, especially here in Chicago. I came here from Florida. I lived in Florida for 10 years. I was living at the beach, you know. It's flip-flops, sandals, and shirts every day. Even in the wintertime, they have a sweatshirt on, but they'll wear shorts and flip-flops, you know. But here in Chicago, the lifestyle of a big city is so much different than the coastal city of Jacksonville. People are moving here all the time. I mean, they're just busy. Just busy. You got to go to work. You got to deal with rush hour traffic. You got to come home from rush hour traffic. You got families. And if service starts at 6:30 on Wednesday night, you are rushing to get all of that done and get here on service at 6:30 on Wednesday night. And I am so mindful of that. And sometimes people just need to be refreshed in the presence of the Lord. And in those kinds of situations and times, you just need to allow the Holy Spirit to flow. Just let him flow. Just let him flow. On Wednesday morning, you know, three services. We start at 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and 11:15, depending on. But those are the reported times. What about the ushers that are here all the services? What about the nursery workers that are here all the services? What about the people that are cleaning up after your mess in all the bathrooms after the services? What about all of that? What about all the people that are ministering the pastor in between the services and all of those kinds of things? They need to be refreshed and ministered too. So you always have to keep those kinds of things in mind, that it's just not about me and what I want to do. What's going to be the benefit for the house? In its entirety, not just a little part. What about the mothers that come in frustrated just because they got their baby dressed in a nice new outfit, she got her tights on, and she's ruffled, and 2 minutes from the church, poop everywhere? What about that person? Where does her mindset need to be so they can hear the word of God and not come in and sit in the service all frustrated just because of one incident? You know, the devil would try to do that. So it's up for us to prepare the way for what God wants to do. We've got to do that. We have to take responsibility and take ownership of the place that God has placed us in. And if you cannot be bold enough to do that, then go work with the ushers. Go work with the kids. I'm serious. Go work with the kids. Go work with housekeeping. You know, be the first person here to open up the doors. Do something else. But if you're not willing to be as bold as God was when he gave us his son, Jesus Christ, if you're not willing to be as bold as the man of God is in the house to deliver and dare to minister what God has given him, find something else to do. Don't spin your wheels. Don't waste anybody's time. Don't be just a hireling. We're talking about the music and the message being one. Not two different things, but being one. And some of the stuff that you do may seem not to connect with the word, but I'm telling you, there's always a thread. If you listen to everybody that's speaking in this meeting this week, there has been a thread from the first message, Yandian, right on through what Brother Ron ministered this morning. There's been a thread all the way through it. And there'll be the thread will continue right on tonight. I'm telling you. But you have to trust God, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Y'all getting something out of this?
Yes.
Okay. And like I said, worship is not just music, musicians, singers, choirs, dancers, flags, banners, as if we're some exclusive group of worshipers with our own little clique. Like we're the only ones that's called to worship God. Like, listen to what I'm doing. No, we're not a clique unto our own selves. We're all called to be worshipers. And there's a statement further in that you'll see that we were created to be worshipers, not just to worship. It's two different things there. Two different things. The trees worship God just by the very nature of them being trees that God created. It declares the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. You know, all the different diversities of species and animals and all of those kinds of things. That declares the glory of God. That gives worship unto God. But we weren't created specifically to worship. We were created worshipers. And there's a difference between the two. Praise the Lord. Smile, Wayne. And if the expression of worship is through the things we mentioned, are some people left out because they are not gifted to function in this capacity? No. You know what? It is just not the pastor's job to cause people to come to know Jesus Christ. The word tells us that we've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. All of us have. The shepherd doesn't produce sheep. It doesn't produce sheep. Sheep produce sheep. Okay, that's a different message altogether. Let me move on. Let me move on. Yee! Get like Pastor. That was funny when he did that last night. When Brother Ron did that. Oh, my gosh. Where do I want to go? You cannot focus on the use of the gift and not the lifestyle of worship. Let me say that again. You cannot focus on the use of the gift and not the lifestyle of worship. Again, some people are so caught up in a person's ability to sing, in a person's ability to play, and a person's ability just to pull things together to make it sound good. You can't get caught up in that because it's just a gift that's operating. But what's most important is the lifestyle of worship that that gift operates through. That's the most important thing. As I said, singers and musicians are a dime a dozen. But where are the anointed men and women that God has called to be a part of what God's doing in this last time? Pastor's been mentioning time is getting shorter. A lot more is happening in a shorter span of time, than what has happened in previous years. And so we just can't get caught up. You know, people will come up and say, oh, it was just wonderful this morning. You did this and you did that. I said, you know what? It's all about all of us coming together, being one, giving praise and glory to God. Because somebody else could be up there doing what I'm doing. Seriously. God can raise somebody up in a minute and put them up there and be just as anointed. I don't know. I might have said this last year, but it still bears witness to say it again. I'd rather hear somebody that can barely hold a tune, but they're anointed to sing, than somebody that's not anointed and can sing their whatever off. I'm serious. The anointing makes the difference. It makes a difference. God can do more through that one person than he can through a thousand other people that are not that anointed to do what that one person did just because of the anointing. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. It's not that rip you play, not that vocal exercise that you do for 30 minutes. It's not that solo that you sing. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. And if we ever forget that, then we need to go back, start all over again. Pastors, I'm telling you, I dare you to be bold. I dare you to be bold. I sat the choir down here for how long? 3 months? 3 months or 4 months? Because they were acting stupid. I'm serious. Just like they were acting stupid. Just nothing serious, but just little nitpicking stuff. You know, there's the little foxes that do what? Spoil the vine. Just little nitpicking things. And just, it was just stupid stuff. And I said, you know what? I got up and I taught on strife for 30 minutes. You know, during rehearsal time, musicians, praise team, choir, whole thing. I taught on strife for 30 minutes. I said, now, we're just going to sit down until whenever it's time to come back up. Nobody knew when we were going to start back up again. This is at Living Word Christian Center. Yeah. Pastor Bill Winston, you're going to sit the choir down? And you do how many services a week? Yeah. I called Pastor and told him what I did. He said, okay, good. I'm telling you, what's on stage goes off into the audience. Yes, and you don't want that mess going out there. Yes, and any pastor that's worth his salt does not want that mess going out there too. Because it's going to mess with him. So yeah, we sat him down. We picked a few people from the praise team. And we sang for 3 months. Just by ourselves, no choir. And then we brought everybody back in for the July 4th special. And then we got them reading 1 Corinthians, the love chapter, every day. I'm telling you, musicians and singers can be some flighty people. But you have to keep that soul in check with the word of God. You have to. Because sometimes we think we're all that. God is good. God is good. What slide am I on? How much time? Where are we at time-wise? Because I want to get some questions for from you too. Okay, so we have a 15 minutes total since we, okay, good, good. Okay. You cannot focus on the use of the gift and not the lifestyle of worship. Mark 7, verse 6 and 7 says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." I know sometimes, even as praise and worship leaders, we get up there and we do our thing, and the choir is up and singing, and the praise team is up and singing, and all that good stuff. And then we get through with what we've done, and we think, like, okay, well, that was okay. Come on, tell me I haven't been. Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, it was. It's like, oh, okay, it was okay. I'm gonna turn to this next one. The word "vain" in the Greek means manipulation. Now that's deep. The word "vain" in the Greek means manipulation. And you look up the definition of the word manipulation. It means skillful or artful management. Skillful or artful management. And another definition of to manipulate is to adapt or change to suit one's purpose or advantage. Some people will just do music because you've worked it up, and I want to do it. It sounds good. We've worked hard on it. The arrangement is nice. And so we're going to throw down on it today. I know you've seen soloists. I saw this one group. I won't say the name because you'll know who the group is. But the sister was singing the song, and you might know who it is. And it was a good song. It was what it was. And she laid down on the stage and just had the microphone all up in the air and was just screaming. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? And you stop and think about it, and to a certain degree, the testimony of it is good. But you didn't have to go through all them changes. Laying down on the stage and jerking like you Missy Elliott, I can't get my head, I can't stop the rain falling in, and all that kind of stuff. It don't take all of that. It don't take all of that. I mean, why are you trying to whip a crowd up into a frenzy? If God can't do it, what can you do? Oh, that's good. I'm telling you, it's a good show. It's a good show. I won't say where I went for a concert. It was a church. Yes, bless the Lord. Ita, ita, ita. True intimate worship can only come from the heart. You can have all the external elements, as we said before, a part of your worship, but you have to ask yourself the question, what has it accomplished? When all is said and done, what has it accomplished? What you just did. We were created to be worshipers, not just to do worship. Because if you only wait till Sunday morning or Wednesday to do worship, then you haven't worshiped. I mean, what happened to Monday, Tuesday? The front part of Wednesday, because you know you didn't spend time that Wednesday morning. What about Thursday? What about worship during your rehearsals? Sometimes we'll just come in, a song will kick in, and we'll just worship. We'll just worship for an hour and a half. And then we'll do healings. We'll start calling out healings. You know? Because if you can't do it when you're rehearsing, you're not going to do it on Sunday morning. And you're not going to do it on Wednesday night. Is that something that you have to do all the time? No, because when it comes right down to it, you're just flowing with the Holy Ghost. Remember, that's what we mentioned. You're just flowing with God. Flow with God. If you just flow with the Spirit of God, you will never be wrong. You will never be off base. But if you can't do that in your private time, you'll never be able to do it publicly. Never. Never. You will never be able to do it publicly. How many of you, and this goes back to the present your bodies a living sacrifice. How many of you in your times of prayer, and you may be speaking out in tongues, how many of you dare to interpret what you spoke? Did you know that you can do that? Yeah. Hello? Hello? How many of you have sat in service and you know where pastor's going before he even gets there? That's because you've been practicing flowing in the Holy Ghost before you got to church. That's the whole thing that I'm talking about here. If you do it before you get here, you'll be fine when you get here. And what I have, about 10 minutes? Oh. Daily relationship. Okay. This part down here. When we disobey God, do we think that we are missing out on something? What causes you to disobey? Do you think you're going to miss out on something? Think about that. What causes you not to do what God wants you to do? Because you think that God's not able to do what he said he was going to do? And that you can do it better for yourself than God can? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me move on. Worship is not about our preferences. Worship is about God.
That's good.
You can sum it all up just with that statement right there. It's not about what you want, but what's going to be pleasing unto him. What's going to bring honor to him? What's going to bring glory to him? Doc? I'm just messing with you. Okay, I'm going to start asking questions in just a second. Are we down to 10 minutes? Are we down to, where are we down to?
3 minutes.
How? 7. Okay, I'm watching the moderator back there in the back. You going to eat? You going to eat? And I don't think I have it in here, but I want you to think about Moses when he went up into the mountains and he saw that burning bush and he dared to go aside to see what it was. And when he moved to the side to see what was happening, what happened? God spoke to him. God spoke to him. How many times has God told us to do something and we haven't done it where worship is concerned? And if you don't do it, God's not going to say. Because there's order with God. There's direction with him. If you do A like he told you to, he'll get you to point B and he'll show you something you haven't seen before. And if you dare to listen to what he's saying here, he'll tell you to move on to point C. But you have to start at letter A. You cannot go all the way down to letter Z. You have to start at the beginning. Start where God tells you. If God is speaking to you about something, listen to him and dare to obey it. Listen to him and dare to obey it. It's so important. It's so vital where worship leaders are concerned. Pastors do it all the time. Ministers of the gospel do it all the time. Sometimes you'll hear them say, well, I don't know why I'm going this direction. Well, I do. You're following God. Yes. You know. And God has a way of bringing it back around. Sometimes even while you're ministering, you don't know, how am I going to get back to where I was going in the first place? Because sometimes God takes you off a rabbit trail just to get to minister to somebody. And we have to be that same way as worship leaders, as musicians, as singers. Yes, let's be the best that we can be. Let's be skillful in what God has called us to do. But dare to be bold to step out and to obey God. And if you dare to step out and obey God when God says, come this direction, I'm telling you, he will speak all the time. When the singers and praises, we have 5 minutes. When the singers and praises came together as one, and you can read it in 1 Chronicles and Ezekiel and all these kind of places, what happened? The glory of God invaded the space to the degree that the priests could not even stand to minister. Because the trumpeters and the singers, you know, there was one part that says there's 120 trumpets. And I forget how many of the singers there were that they had pulled together and all the people on the cymbals and the harps and all those kinds of things. But when they came together and they made one sound, you know how loud that was? You know how loud that one sound was? But they were flowing together as one that the glory of God sat heavily, heavily on them. Just because they dare to be one. Okay, that's enough. I've only had 5 minutes. Man, I don't know where I want to go. All of it. But anyway. Questions. Got time for a couple of questions. I'll flow with God now. Did you get something out of it? Okay. And you know, you can exhaust this topic. And you know, and I was going to say one other thing too. Don't get so caught up. You know, we should all want to strive to better ourselves. That's with anything. We always want to. Don't let the be the thing that drives what you do. Everybody's got an ideal about this. Everybody has an ideal about that. We can do things this way. We can do things that way. What I said, remember what I said in the beginning. What does God want through you for the house that you're in? Amen. Okay? Okay, question right quick. Hurry up. Yes, she's got a mic.
You were saying how you would set the choir and stuff down. With our musicians, because we're a small church and everything,
yeah.
Would you recommend, like, if you have to continue to tell them to do something? Because if we don't have our musician, like we have 2 piano players.
Yeah.
And for some reason they can't work together.
Yeah.
And.
Oh.
How do you, would you, they because we would but, be, the, we would be.
And how long has that been going on?
It's been going on for a while. And like I was telling, because my dad is the pastor. So
I'll when you say a while, how long is a while?
Probably like maybe 3 or 4 months.
3 or 4 months?
Yes.
One day is too many.
So, okay. Because my thing is, if they're not playing, then we don't have no piano player.
There's tracks out there.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. There are music tracks that you can put together. I Worship for Integrity. I Worship for Integrity. Are you familiar with those? They have DVDs that have the words, the songs, the backgrounds on there. You plop one of those things in and you let them know God can move when you're not even here. Yes. Uh-uh. Yes. No. No. Why did Satan get thrown out from heaven? Because he was being stupid. Oh, God, no. That would never happen. Never. And that kind of stuff you cannot allow to go on. And if you're over that department and that's your position, you need to take care of that. Because ultimately you're affecting your dad, which is the pastor. Okay, let me smile again. I don't know. Give me one more question. Oh, my God. I just got a righteous indignation rose up. I have 1 minute. Who else has a question? Yes, this brother down here. Hand was first wave. Wait till she gets the microphone. To you. That's just.
Thank you.
That's just hard to imagine. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Okay, you ready? Okay. Is there a difference between worship and holy worship?
You. That's kind of another one of my pet peeves. Why do we have to have varying degrees of worship? If my lifestyle of obedience is worship to God, then everything that I do, if I'm totally submitted to God, everything that I do is worship. There's not high worship. There's not middle of the road worship. There's not deep, wide worship. Remember I said that at the beginning? Worship is worship. Be it fast, slow, in between, I don't care. If your lifestyle is a life of obedience, you're living the life of worship. Huh? Giving is worship. Amen. When you're sowing into the television ministry, that's worship. When you walk up to somebody and give them a smile and give them a hug, that's worship. Remember what we said? It's not just about musicians and singers and all of that kind of stuff. It's a lifestyle. It's an everyday lifestyle of what we do. I'm sorry. I have my moments on stuff like that. Okay. No, uh-uh. Remember, I wanted you to, I'm out of time. I wanted you to write down what God spoke to you. I wanted you to write down what God spoke to you and let that minister to you. Amen? Let's stand. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that you're leading us in this day and in this time and in this hour, and that you're taking us to higher places in you, Father God, and that you're taking us to deeper places in you, and that you're causing us to move from glory to glory to glory to glory each and every day of our lives, Father God. I pray for those that are here that they dare to step out in you, that they dare to trust you, that they dare to persevere and press on into what you want to do in this day and in this time and in this hour. And Father God, I thank you that they are a blessing to the house that they're in. They're a blessing to the man of God that they're hooked up with, Father God. They're a blessing to those that they are over, Father God, in Jesus' name. And we give you praise and glory and honor and in Jesus' name. And we say,
amen.
Be blessed.